Hallelujah. Am I on? Good. Praise God. Why don't you all go ahead and stand up and wake up for a minute? I woke up this morning. I said, Lord, you opened the refrigerator again. I don't know why you did that. I'm ready for summer. Hallelujah. And so in just a minute, we're going to get started. How many of you have ever received a DVD in the mail from me? Raise your hand. Well, see, there are people I will place in. Yeah, I'm going to record this, so it's going to be on DVD, and it'll be mailed out to quite a few people across the United States and around the world. So if you're not enjoying yourself, please act like you are. And please don't chew gum nor tobacco while I'm preaching. And if you are, swallow it. But what I want you to do right now is just take a few minutes and find someone you didn't ride to church with and greet them and bless them, two or three people. Not someone you rode with. They're sick of you. Find somebody new. Welcome them to church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, go across the aisle and find a couple of people. They want to see you. Thank you, my Father. Praise God. Well, when Pastor called me, I was leaving an office. Pastor called me and he said, Keith, this is Pastor Mike Johnson. I said, I've been waiting on you for a year. And so then he told me he was leaving. And I said, well, I'm going to miss seeing you. And he said, well, you know, I'll see you when I... He said, Pastor Cheryl will be there to keep you in line. I said, well, I'm glad about that. So, Pastor Cheryl, you keep me in line today while I'm preaching. I'm going to have you... I saw you sit down, but you're going to get lots of exercise today. This is going to be about... This is like the Episcopalian church. Everybody say, God bless the Episcopalians. Have a friend who went to the Episcopalian church, and he said, I was so wore out by the time I left there. We got up, we sat down, we knelt down, we stood up, we stood up, we sat down, we knelt down, we stood up, we knelt down, we knelt down, we prayed, we stood up, we knelt down. We picked up a hymn, we put down the hymn, we said this, we knelt down. He said, by the time I left, I felt like I had been to the gym. I said, well, maybe you needed that. But I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles right now to 2 Kings chapter 2, and just hold something in there. And after you get 2 Kings chapter 2 held, I'm going to get you to stand up, and we're going to make our confession together that I make before I preach. If you were here last time, you made it with me. 2 Kings chapter 2, and then everybody stand up. Hallelujah. Bless you. If you're awake, say, I am.
I am.
Praise God. You know, I'll say this before I start preaching. I was in bed this morning about 4 o'clock, and the Lord woke me up. And he said, I need to talk to you about what you're going to preach today. And I said, Lord, couldn't it wait till about 7? So I've been up for a long time. And I've been talking to the Lord this morning. It's kind of interesting, too, some of the things the Lord talked to me about, because you're going to find out it's been right in line with everything that's been going on in this service today. So God knows, God knows, God knows, and if we'll listen, he'll talk. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hold up your Bible. Make the devil mad and Jesus glad. You know, that makes him nervous. I see some of you got electronic Bibles. That's all right. As long as the battery doesn't go dead. Say, this is my Bible. Say it out loud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, that'll do you good. Go ahead and have a seat, and I'm going to read to you beginning in 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to read quite a few scriptures here, And then I'll tell you what my topic is today. In 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah is getting ready to be taken by God into the heavens by the whirlwind. And Elisha, his servant, is there with him. And in 2 Kings 2 verse 1, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not tarry here. I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest not that the Lord will take away your master from you today? And he said, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, stay here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. Verse 5. And the sons of prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away from you your master, the head, today? And he answered, yes, I know it. Hold your peace. And in verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray you, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and they stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and he wrapped it together, and he smote the waters. And the waters were divided to each side, so that the two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass that when they went over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I should do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. Can I get an amen? I'm going to preach to you for a little bit this morning, for a little while, on this topic. How big is your want to? How big is your want to? I don't know about you, but all my life, James said he's known me for over 20 years, I've always had a great big want to in everything that I've ever done. Whether it's been scholastically, whether it's been in my profession, whether it's been in the spirit world, what I do in the ministry, I always have a great, and always had a great big want to. I want great things from the Lord. I want great products out of my life. I want a great heritage that I leave to my ancestry. I have a great big want to. And I believe that God wants us as children of God to have great big want to's. Can I get an amen? And what I really want to focus on today, folks, but you can make this to however it is applicable to your life, is, but what I felt this morning at 4 a.m. is that some people were up praying, and some of you have a great big want to for a greater anointing. A great big want to for a greater anointing. And the Lord woke me up this morning and told me that, and I began to prepare this based on that. Listen, if you have a great big want to for a better anointing and a stronger anointing in this year of 2013, I just want you to know that you're right in line with the will of God. You're right in line with the Word of God. You ought not to think that's arrogance or something that God doesn't want for you. God wants you to shake off those shackles of 2012. He wants you to get sick and tired of that old anointing. That thing that's been hanging on you for so long, that old dead anointing of religiosity that's not doing anybody any good anywhere. He wants you to have a strong anointing of the Holy Ghost upon you so that you can go out and bring healing and deliverance to suffering, sighing, crying, dying humanity. You know, the word Elisha in Hebrew means God is salvation. The word Elijah in Hebrew means my God is Jehovah. And a lot of people are content with the Elisha spirit, the salvation spirit. The ones who say, well, I've been born again and I'm going to the sweet by and by. Praise God. That's all I need. Well, let me tell you something. You're not in the sweet by and by. You're in the nasty now and now. You're down here where there's sickness and disease, where there's demons and devils, where there's homosexuality and lesbianism, where pornography is running rampant, when divorce is breaking up marriages, where we're working through this poverty that has come upon our nation. We're working through broken homes and broken families. We got to have the power of the Holy Ghost upon us in this hour. We can't settle for an Elisha spirit. We need, my God is Jehovah upon us. And that's the kind of spirit that Elisha had on him. He said, I'm not just content with my God being the God of salvation. I want the Elijah spirit upon me. I want that my God is Jehovah. I want to know God by his first name. I like that. Get the Elijah spirit upon you so that you have something more than just salvation in your life. You know, Jesus said in the book of John, in the great day of the feast, in that great day, he stood up and he cried with a loud voice, let anyone who's thirsty come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's talking to people who are born again, who have accepted him as their Savior. He's saying there's more for you than just being born again. You can have not just a well of salvation deep within you. You can have rivers of living water that flow out of you to others. And that's the Elijah spirit that I want to stir up on you this morning. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Look at this in verse 2. It says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, stay here, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, I will not. So they went to Bethel. I like that. Look in verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, you stay here. The Lord sent me to Jericho. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. Look in verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. And they went on. You know, you got to have an I will not take no for an answer spirit. I'm not going to take no. This is my hour. This is my day. Let God be true and every man be a liar. I'm going to climb the hill of God. I'm going to wrap my fingers in the garments of God. I'm going to get what God has for me this hour. It doesn't matter who goes with me or who stays behind me. I'm determined in this hour to be more than the average denominational Christian that's on the earth today. You just got to have I'm not giving up spirit. I tell this story often, and I know somebody's probably thinking, when are you going to stop telling it? When I get to heaven, I'll stop telling it. But a few years ago, well, actually about 16, 17 years ago now, I went to the doctor. I was having so much pain in my body, and I didn't know what was wrong. I was only about 30 years old, and I knew something was wrong because I would stand up to teach, and I couldn't teach at the university. I knew something was going on, and they poked and prodded and tested and did this, violated me in every possible way known to humanity. And I know what my ears heard. I know, Pastor Cheryl, what I heard. The doctor looked at me, took me back in this little room, and he looked at me, and these were his words to me. He said, Keith, you have the beginning in your bloodstream. You have the beginning infection of rheumatoid arthritis. And he said, you need to make up your mind that in a few years, you're going to be totally incapacitated. That's what my ear, I know what I heard. Totally incapacitated, 30 years old, and fine. You're supposed to laugh at that. That's what he told me. I'm going to be totally incapacitated. I'm 30 years old. I had birthed, I thank God, before that time, my pastor, he's in heaven now. He had birthed in me this Elijah spirit, this I'm not going to take no for an answer. I got alone on my face before God in my bedroom there, and I said, oh God, I'll not be denied. I know that you are Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I need you to speak to me. I need a rhema word from you. And God spoke a scripture into my spirit that I had read many times, but the scripture was over there where David writes. He writes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. I looked up into the heavens and I said, Brother David, did you say all thy diseases? He said, Brother Keith, I said all thy diseases. I said, praise God, that includes rheumatoid arthritis. There was a school across the street from me. I lived in Port Arthur, Texas at the time. I got my dog. I could hardly walk a block. I said, I can make it one lap around that school. Praise God, I was walking with my dog. And I don't know what my neighbors thought, but I was out there and I was saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. And then I would have to sit down, O my soul. Oh, forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all thy iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases, but I guess he ain't healing today on me. You ever felt like that? I get up and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That went on for a few weeks. Pretty soon, about a month later, I was saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. And that includes rheumatoid arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis can't stay in my body in the name of Jesus. Pretty soon, I was up to 6 and 7 and 8 laps around that school. 3 or 4 miles, I was screaming, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. He forgiveth all mine iniquities, and he healeth all my diseases, and I'm free of rheumatoid arthritis. And I went back to the doctor, and the doctor poked and prodded to me, and he said, what happened to that rheumatoid arthritis? Perplexed. And I remember what I looked at him. I looked at him, and I said, I took care of it. I want you to know I don't have any rheumatoid arthritis in my body today. But you have to have the spirit of Elijah. I will not take no for an answer. In Jesus' name, Pastor quoted it, the spirit of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Sometimes we're waiting on God, and God's waiting on you. Praise God. I guess you thought, I hope you didn't think I was going to be a little quiet preacher. I only been up here a couple of minutes. I'm already shouting, woo! Glory. There, I got it out of the way. How big is your want to? How big is your want to? How much do you want it? You have to want it more. You have to have more upon you than the Elisha spirit. You have to have the Elijah spirit upon you. Then I want you to notice this. In verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said, do you know that your Lord will take away your master from you today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Verse 5, the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to him and said, do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Let me tell you the second thing. If you got a really big want to, folks, we have to want it more than the average religious person. The average religious person will sit and talk about it, but never enter into it. We got to want it more than the sons of the prophets who sit and talk about it and mock us. They say, don't you know your master's going to be taken away from you today? He says, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. That means shut up. That's what we'd say. I know it. Shut up. Sometimes you have to tell religiosity to shut up. I'm not telling you to tell each other to shut up. You have to tell religiosity to shut up sometimes. Because religiosity will say, oh, that's all right. You just sit back and let Brother James do that. He's the one that's anointed to do that. You just be humble before the Lord. That's the devil talking to you. I like what Pastor Cheryl said. She said, look, I don't have any spirit that's bigger or greater or more anointed than what you have. I have a friend that's a surgeon in Houston, and he told me one time, he said, Keith, you just... He goes with me places, you know, and he always is interested. He said, you just have a special relationship with God. I said, no, I don't. The only difference is that I know that I am anointed to do something, and you refuse to admit it. That's the difference. You got the same anointing that Brother Keith has. You got the same anointing that Pastor Mike has. You got the same anointing that Pastor Cheryl has. Just rise up and tell the voice of religion, shut up. I'm going to do something for God in this hour. Hallelujah. Say, what does that mean? I don't know, but it sure did feel good. You notice there were 50 prophets that said this. I just thought of this. 1 in 51 is not content. Those are not good statistics. Now, Jesus had a little bit of better statistics. He got 1 in 12 who was willing to do more than sat in the boat. So when we get into the New Testament, we got a little bit better statistics. So let me go there and camp for a minute because I like that. Jesus had 1 in 12 that said, I want more than the others. I'm not content sitting in this boat, Jesus. Oh, Peter, he stood up and the wind was blowing and the storm was beating down upon his brow. And they looked out there and I like what they said. They said, oh, my God, it's a ghost. They thought Jesus was a ghost. Hallelujah. They said, it's a ghost. And Peter looked up and he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come unto you. Don't you know those other apostles in the boat said, sit down, stupid. You're going to get out there and you're going to sink. The waves are out there. The wind is out there. The devil is out there. You sit down. Peter said, I'm not content sitting in this boat. I might get up. I might sink when I step out there. I might have to take the Lord's hand to keep me up. But praise God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of these denominational chains that have held me down for so long. I'm tired of sitting in my denominational boat. I'm tired of sitting in this denominational boat eating my denominational fish. I'm tired of just doing what's expected of ordinary religious people in an ordinary religious day. I yearn for the supernatural in my life. I want the same anointing that's upon me as my Lord. I want to cast out demons. I yearn to lay hands on sick people. I want to raise the dead. And Jesus said, Peter, it's me, boy. Come on out here to me and walk on the water. And you know, people always want to talk about Peter falling and sinking, but listen, church, Peter walked on the water. That's more than the other 11 did. Oh, he walked on that water. And he was a gruff, coarse man. He was the one who messed up more than anyone. You talk about somebody who's not content with ordinary religion. Oh, in a few chapters, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and began speaking in other tongues, it's Peter who stands up and delivers the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he says to all those Jews that are coming against him there in Jerusalem, he says, let it be known unto you and unto all the people of Israel that which you see and hear today, this speaking in tongues has been wrought by Jesus, the one you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. And then in Acts chapter 3, he and John, they go down to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there's a man, I'm talking about more than ordinary religious people want. Where are the people that should have healed the man in Acts chapter 3? He's been laying at the gate beautiful since his birth. And nobody's come by there to offer him any help. None of the religious folk have come by to help him. Where are those that would reach out and lay hands on him? Even in the Old Testament, God provided healing for them. But Peter comes by. Praise God. He's different from the others. He walks by and he looked at that man and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, rise and walk. The man didn't move. So Peter went down and he lifted him up. And the man went walking and leaping and praising God right into the church house. You think I'm wild? Glory be to God, walking and leaping and praising God into the church. And those Jewish leaders got so mad at him. Oh, they stirred themselves up and they told Peter, they got Peter and John and they beat them. And they said, lest you bring any more healings like this into Jerusalem, we straightly charge you. You are not to speak or preach or heal anymore in the name of Jesus. Woo, I like that. I like that. Come to me and tell me I can't use the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. I lost my text. Oh, go back to verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle, and he wrapped it together, and he smote the waters, and they were divided into two sides, and they went over on dry ground. And then look in verse 9, I'll read that too. And it came to pass that when they went over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for you before I be taken away. And Elisha said, I pray, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. How big is your want to, church? The next thing I want to tell you is this: people with great big want to's are bold. Oh, you're not going to find people with great big want-tos who are content just sitting on the back row and singing the songs of Zion once a Sunday. Oh, no, people with great big want-tos are bold. And after they told Peter, I'll think about this, after they told Peter and John that they weren't supposed to preach or teach or heal anymore in the name of Jesus, the Bible says they went back to their own company and they prayed, now God, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Shout boldness. Grant unto your servants, Lord, that with all boldness we may speak your word and stretch forth your hand to heal and show signs and wonders by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Oh, I like that. They told him to shut up, and he said, God, give me boldness so that I'll never shut up. They told him, don't you lay hands on anyone. He said, God, give me boldness. I'll lay hands on anything that moves. They said, don't you cast out devils. Oh, in just a few chapters, in Acts chapter 5, the Bible says that Peter and John and the others were walking through Jerusalem, and the power of God, that spirit of Elijah, was so strong upon Peter that just the shadow of Peter passing over people who were paralyzed, they got up and walked. And just the shadow of Peter passing over people possessed by demons, the demons begin to cry out. That's what I want. That's what you want. That's what you got to get your arms around today, church. That's what you got to get your fingers wrapped into God's garments for. You got to have that Elijah anointing. You got to have that spirit of God upon you that causes the deaf to hear, that causes the mute to speak, that causes the blind to see, and that causes the dead to be raised. Hallelujah. Shout amen. Amen. I'm telling you, God wants you to have a greater anointing this year. I know God. God doesn't always wake me up at 4 in the morning. In fact, I wish he wouldn't sometimes, but when he does, I know he's getting ready to move. Hallelujah. In fact, you know, y'all were singing a song out here, and the Lord woke me up this morning and said, go to Exodus 33:18, and I did, and it was Moses. And Moses was standing there, and God asked Moses, he said, Moses, you're getting a little bit older now, and it's getting time for you to come on home to me. What do you want? And Moses said, show me thy glory. Y'all were singing that earlier. Show me thy glory. Isn't that something? Show me thy glory. Here's a man who came down out of the backside of Sinai with a rod in his hand. He stretched forth that hand, and he turned the Nile red with blood. He stretched forth that hand, and he caused plagues of frogs and lice to come upon the Egyptians. He stretched forth that rod, and it caused all of the angel of death to come upon the firstborn of all of the Egyptians. Oh, he stood on that rock, and those 2 to 3 million, we don't know how many, 2 to 3 million possibly slaves that were there with him, with the entire army of Egypt, the greatest dynasty of that day, were descending upon him. And they said, were it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us into the desert to die? And he said, this day you'll see Pharaoh's chariots no more. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he stretched forth that rod, and the Bible says that God parted the sea into two parts, and they walked over on dry ground. Here's a man that's seen the greatest miracles of his day, and here he is, 80, 90, 100 years old, getting ready to go to heaven to be with God for all eternity. And God says, Moses, what can I do for you? And Moses says, I'm not content, God, just to be like the other religious people who have seen the sea part and be content with it, who have seen the plagues come and be content with it, who've seen miracles come and be content with it. I want more, God. Show me your face. Hallelujah. Do you know God said, Moses, you're an idiot. What's wrong with you, Moses? Who do you think you are? You must be going down to that Tree of Life church down there in Pflugerville. You can't look at me, Moses. I'm too high and mighty for that. No, that isn't what Moses, that isn't what God said. God delighted that Moses wanted a greater anointing. And he said, Moses, I would love to show you my face, but no man can look upon my face and live. So I'll put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'll put my hand in front of your face, and I'll pass by, and once I get past you, I'll remove my hand, and you can see my hinder parts. And Moses said, glory to God, let's get it underway right now. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? He wanted more. I think if I had stretched out my hand and parted a sea, I might be tempted to be content. Yeah. Glory be to God. He said, that's not enough for me. That's the kind of spirit God sent me today to tell you that you could have, church. You can have that upon you. Look here in verse 10. It says, and he said, this is what Elisha asked of Elijah. He says, let that double portion of your spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be so unto you. And if not, it shall not be so. Let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me as I was studying this. we need to realize that the anointing that we currently have is the direct result of the hunger and the energy that we have put forth to obtain it. Now, that's a sobering thought. The anointing that we currently have is the direct result of the continual thirst and hunger and energy that we have put forth to acquire that anointing. Now, I don't want you to get under condemnation, but if you have nothing, I guarantee you, you have not thirsted on a continual basis for it. Because God does not leave the thirsty thirsty. He fills the hungry with good things. I was praying recently, Pastor Cheryl, about Mary. I said, why is it that Mary got to carry Jesus? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, because she was hungry for a move of God in her life. And I said, Lord, how do you get that? And he directed me over to the scripture in Luke where she said, you have filled the hungry with good things, right after the angel told her as a virgin that she would conceive and bear a child. I said, good Lord, I'd never seen that before in my life. She was hungry for the things of God. And so God picked her because of her hunger. Oh, I've known that hunger. In 1986, I had come up to Southwest Texas State University, and I had left my pastor and my church. My pastor's in heaven now, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to drive there every week for church until he's dead. I want you there. And I said, Lord, do you know how far that is? It's 175 miles one way to my church, and you want me to drive there every week? And the Lord said, how hungry are you, Keith? How hungry are you, Keith? I said, all right, God. And with the scorn of the community in which I was living and the disapproval of my parents, I got up every Sunday morning at 5 a.m. and I drove to get down to that church 175 miles away. And I sat there through the 8:30 a.m. service. And I stayed through the 11 a.m. service. And then I went and I sat in a parking garage or went to a shopping mall during the day. And then at night I came back for the 7 p.m. service. And then at 9 p.m. I left Houston to drive back to San Marcos 175 miles to get back to my dorm. What was it? I was hungry. Hungry for the things of God. Actually, what had happened, to tell you the truth, I had pulled up on a little side. Well, I had walked out of it. Our church was real big. It was about 8,000. At that time, we had about 10,000 people coming. But I had gone out this little side door. It's very dangerous to get in a Holy Ghost church and start wandering around where you don't know you're going. So you people who are going out in the lobby to volunteer later, you just be aware of that. I wandered out this corridor, and I walked out onto this Shell parking lot. And right when I did, this blue car pulled up. I didn't think nothing about it, you know. And I had only been there a couple of months at that time. I didn't know that John Osteen, not Joel Osteen, but I didn't know that John Osteen was a big name in the realms of the Pentecostal charismatic movement. I didn't know that. I was as ignorant as Job's old yellow turkey. You say, how ignorant? That's pretty ignorant. And he stepped out of the car. And I was just standing. I thought, oh, there's my pastor, you know. And he walked past me. And as he walked past me, he looked at me and said, how you doing? And when he said, how you doing? You can doubt that. You could take a ball bat, and you could take that ball bat and beat me down to a greasy spot. That greasy spot would say, when he looked at me and said, how you doing? The anointing of God fell on me. From his words. I'd never felt anything like that in my life. Understand, I had been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for many years at that point, but I had never felt the anointing, the tangible anointing of the Holy Ghost like that. And I remember after that happened, he walked in. I was standing there kind of drunk. And I said, God, I would cut off my right arm to have this. I would cut off my right arm to have this. And I came back to school. And about that time, this growth formed under my eye right here. And it looked like a BB or a pellet, a little bit bigger than a big BB, under my skin. And I went to our campus doctor. And they told me it was some kind of like calcium deposit, that it wasn't dangerous. But it was really black and ugly, and I have a beautiful face. And I did not want that in my face, you understand? Blessed is he who calleth those things that be not as though they are. And so I said, Lord, I need you. I need your healing in my face. And I had about as much faith for healing as I did to part the Red Sea, you understand? But I had remembered when my pastor walked past me, and I felt that anointing on him. And Pastor Osteen had the gift of revelation. And I said, God, in all those thousands of people, if you will speak to him to call me out of the crowd. Nobody could see that. I mean, in a crowd of that many thousands. I said, I'll believe you without ever doubting again. So Sunday morning, I got to church for the 8:30 a.m. service. I sat through the 8:30 a.m. service and nothing happened. Praise God. I went to the 11 a.m. service and we were singing the songs of Zion. And as we got done singing, Pastor Osteen got up on the stage getting ready to take the offering. And he stopped. And he said, there is a person in this section right here. And you have a growth under your right eye. I don't know who you are, but you're right in here somewhere. Stand up. You talk about standing up. I almost killed three Presbyterians. I got up so fast. I said, it's me! It's me! It's me! And he looked at me and said, I just want to announce to you, you're not going to be healed. You are healed in Jesus' name. And I sat down. And I went back to school. The growth was still there. It was under my eye. The doctor told me it would never go away. I didn't care. I knew it was going. I knew you could have beaten me to a greasy spot. The greasy spot said, there ain't no growth there. It's going away. I got up every day at Rotama Hall where we live. James was my RA. I looked in the mirror, and people would walk past me and laugh, and I'd say, ha, 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 growth, you can't stay on my eye. In the name of Jesus, you got to go. I did that every day for about 2 months. And then one day I got up, and I walked in there, and I looked in the mirror just to do what I normally do, and I said, ha, ha, growth, you can't. It was gone. It was gone. I said it was gone. But something happened to me with that, Pastor Cheryl, that was more than just being healed. I said, I got to have that. I got to have that. I need that. It's not enough for John Osteen to have that. I want that. And if God's no respecter of persons, then praise God, I can have it according to the Bible. And I set my face like a flint. I about worried God to death praying to him about getting the gift of revelation. I said, I want the gift of the word of knowledge. I want the gift of the word of wisdom. I want the gift of tongues. I want the gift of interpretation. I was a hog. I wanted all of them. I want the gift of prophecy. I want the gift of miracles. I want the gifts of, oh God, here I am. Give them, give them, give them, give them, give them, give them to me, Lord Jesus. Give them to me. Praise God. I'm telling you that the anointing that we currently have, the spirit that's currently upon us, church, is in direct correlation with the energy and the constant, continual thirst that we have demonstrated. Here I am, driving 175 miles there each week, sitting through three services, driving 175 miles back, waiting for next Sunday so I can drive 175 miles each week, sitting through three services, driving 175 miles back so I can do it again, year by year, and I'm crying out to God, oh God! And one day, glory be to God, this guy in the green shirt right here with the glasses, you see me looking at you? Yeah, I'm talking to you. Stand up. You don't have glasses. I'm sorry. You had glasses on. Go ahead and stand up. Oh, thus saith the Lord thy God, I have seen your heart, saith God. I have seen those things that you have cried out for, saith God. And when others have not known and others have even scorned, I have looked upon your heart, saith the Lord. So this day be not dismayed, but be encouraged, my son. For I have come down to tell you that you have done a good thing and that I am proud to call you my son in spite of the failures and in all the things that you failed. I want you to know that I have come down to encourage you this day, saith the Lord. Give Jesus a hand clap. Praise God. One day, I was in Houston, and I was preaching at a little bitty old church, probably about 25, 30 people in there. And praise God, right in the middle of my sermon, I was looking back at the back door. They all spoke a different language. They all spoke Malayalam. They only spoke broken English. And I was looking back at the door, and there was a lady at the back door, and I watched, and a rib cage rose right up out of her head. And I said, Lord, there's a rib cage. And on the bottom left side, there was this red light. And it was just going like this. And I said, well, I was a little timid then. You know, I wouldn't call people out directly. I said, there's somebody in here, and I don't know who you are. But the Lord tells me you got pain on your rib cage. And God wants to, before I could finish, she jumped up out of her seat and started screaming, "It's me! It's me!" And she came running down the aisle. I didn't even know what to do. I thought, well, I guess I'm supposed to lay hands on her. That's what I've seen them do, you know. So I came off the platform to lay hands on her. And as I went to her, before I could get to her, it looked like she ran into a brick wall. And she just went right out on the floor unconscious. And I thought, well, what am I supposed to do now? So I just left her there and kept on preaching. Praise God, when she got up, she was healed. Didn't have any pain in her rib cage. She ran all over that church. Let me ask you something. Was it worth it now? Was the constant hunger worth it now? Was the 175 miles one way worth it now? Was beseeching God daily worth it now? Was it worth it even though my friends scorned me? Even though my parents told me that they were going to cut me off because they didn't think it was smart to be driving that far? I said, well, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry if you're going to cut me off. I just have to do what God's told me to do. I'm 22. Praise God, I did. They know they're wrong now. They do know they're wrong now. But whatever hunger you have, church, whatever constant, continual hunger you have will result in the anointing that you get. Is this helping you any? I got one more thing to tell you, maybe. Look here at this, and it says, and they went on in verse 11, and there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. Listen, church, when you're seeking a greater anointing, and I'm asking you how big your want to is, you can't be set back by disappointment and sorrow. Disappointment and sorrow, you have to make up your mind, is going to be a stepping stone that's going to get you closer to what you want from God. Everybody has disappointment and sorrow. Everybody messes up. Everybody suffers grief when people are taken from us. That same church that I was preaching in, they came to me about 2 weeks after my pastor died. I was in no mood to preach. Didn't want to preach. Even the people that preached at my church at that time stopped preaching for about 6 months. Nobody wanted to preach. We were in sorrow. And they came to me and they said, we need you to preach this Sunday. I said, find somebody else. I'm tired. And I was crying and grieving. And the Lord said, no, go on and preach. And I said, okay. So I went in there and I started preaching. And after that, it was the same service where that woman fell out. After that, I felt the Holy Ghost come on me, and I got up and I started screaming really too fast, stand up and step back, 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 because I wanted to lay hands on everyone. They couldn't understand me because I was speaking in English, and they all spoke Malayalam. And so I just started praying in other tongues. Now, at that church, it's an Indian church, and the Indian churches generally have tables. If they don't sit on the floor, they have tables in front of them. And so they were all at tables, and I couldn't get to them. But I knew the Lord wanted me to lay hands on them. So I just began to pray. And as I prayed, everybody stood up and stepped back. I didn't know what was going on, but I said, there's my chance. So I went out and started laying hands on people. They falling out under the power, people getting healed, filled with the Holy Ghost, all kinds of things happening. And I'm just going with it because, you know, I'm new in all this. There was a little boy that I was mentoring. A little boy, he was about 20. Little for me, young man that I was mentoring, who was Hindu. Look at me and say, God bless the Hindus. And he spoke Malayalam. And that service had been recorded. And he was listening to it in my living room on an audio cassette back in the day. And I was in the other room doing something, brushing my teeth or something. And I heard him stop the audio cassette and push rewind, and he listened to it again. And he stopped it, and he pushed rewind, and he listened to it again. And he stopped it, and he pushed rewind, and he listened to it again. And I thought, what on earth is he doing? Just listening to me praying in tongues. He was an Indian. I walked in there. He was white as a ghost. Pale. He looked at me. He said, when did you learn to speak Malayalam? I said, I don't speak Malayalam. He said, right there, you told everyone, stand up, step back from your chairs. I'm coming to lay hands on you. I said, no, I didn't. I was praying in other tongues. He said, I don't care what you call it. He got kind of irritated with me. He said, I don't care what you call it. I've been speaking Malayalam my whole life, and I know what you just said. You told everybody to stand up and sit back because you're coming to lay hands on them. And he said, furthermore, there are two ways you can say it. You can say it as though you're talking to one of your friends, and that's a very informal way of saying it. And he said there's another way of saying it, and only a king or someone would address people that way. And he said that's the language you're using in Malayalam. You're telling everyone to stand back, stand up and step back so that you can come and lay hands on them. Now, what if I would have let the sorrow of my life at that time prevent me from going into that service to do that? See, you can't let sorrows and setbacks stop you, church. You have to press on. And the Bible says that after this, after he tore his clothes in a sign of grieving, that Elisha bent down, and listen to what I'm about to say. If you don't get anything, get this. He picked up the mantle, and he put it on. It did not fall upon him magically as Elijah was taken up in the whirlwind. He had to do something. You say, well, what if I don't feel like it? Elisha didn't feel like it. His master had been taken from him. He put the mantle on. He walked back to the River Jordan, and you notice the 50 prophets, they stood afar off, the sons of the prophets. People are real content to stand far off and criticize, but they don't want to get down where the rubber meets the road. He took off the mantle, and he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he smote the waters, and the waters rolled back on both sides. See, it's no longer the God of Elijah. Now it's the God of Elisha. You know, this really will be the last thing I say. I'm starting to feel the anointing come into my hands. Kodabasha kandabaya. The last thing you got to know if you're going to function in a greater anointing is what you are supposed to smite. Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16 that the Holy Ghost comes upon you to bring a demonstration to the world about sin because they don't believe on me. About judgment because Satan is judged, and about righteousness because I go back to be with my Father. So this greater anointing comes upon you so that you can make Jesus real to people who don't believe in him. Not so that we can go out and beat them down and tell them that they're going to hell and that if they don't clean their lives up, God's mad at them. No, God's not mad anymore. When Jesus sealed that Old Testament, Paul wrote about it in Corinthians, and he says in the Amplified Bible, it was God personally present in Christ, restoring and reconciling the whole world unto himself, not imputing men's trespasses against them, but canceling them. And now he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore are we ambassadors. We go out with this message of reconciliation. So God will anoint you with a greater anointing if you know what to smite with that mantle. You don't smite people, you encourage people. You smite the devil. You smite demons. You smite sickness. You smite disease. You smite depression. You smite heartache. You smite heartbreak. You smite broken families. You smite divorce. You smite poverty. Praise God. That's the anointing that God wants to put on this church. God, I believe, wants this church here in Pflugerville. After I sent that DVD out last year, I got so many responses about it. God wants this church in Pflugerville, Pastor Cheryl, I believe, to be a beacon light of love for people in this community who have not found that love in any other religious organization. Let those who are taken in pornography come into these doors and find deliverance. Let those who have been stricken with divorce come in these doors. Let those who call themselves homosexuals come in these doors. Let those who are suffering with depression come to these doors. Let those who have incurable diseases come to these doors. And I'm telling you something, it won't just be Pastor Cheryl, and it won't just be Pastor Mike, and it won't just be Brother James and the praise team. It will be you who are out here in these seats who are going to rise up in a greater anointing, and you're going to lay hands on sick people, and you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles like never before in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I think I just preached it. If you will, stand up. I'm just going to wait on the Holy Ghost for a minute. Hallelujah. For thus saith the Lord, in this hour it has come a time to shake yourself. It has come a time, saith God, as I said earlier, to shake yourself, to shake off those things of the past and that staleness of the past. Remember now, saith God, that when the children of Israel were on the desert, that they could not collect manna for days on end. They could not collect manna and store it for months on end. They had to collect it on a daily basis. And as I look down upon this congregation, there be some, saith God, who would say, let me store up the manna. 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 But this day, saith God, I say to you, store not up the manna, for I have fresh manna every day for you. And that manna in this year is a greater anointing, saith the Lord. It is a greater power that's going to come upon you as you press in toward it, saith God. And as you expend that energy, saith God, and as you take one step toward me, I'm going to take two steps toward you, saith God. So think it not strange in the coming days, saith God, when you feel that little voice on the inside of your spirit that says, turn left, I want you to turn left. And when that voice inside your spirit says, turn right, I want you to turn right. And when that voice inside of your spirit says, run full force ahead, I want you to gallop at the pace of a chariot, saith God, to bring suffering, sighing and crying, dying humanity, deliverance and hope and help in this hour, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. I want you to do this. Shake it. Shake off it. Shake off. Shake it. Shake it. Shake it in Jesus' name. Shake it. Shake it in Jesus' name. Shake it. You say, why are you crazy? Yes, I am. Shake it in Jesus' name. Get rid of that old stuff. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off in Jesus' name. See, I give you that to do something physically to represent what's going on in the spirit world here today. God's looking for people who are unashamed, who'll just be lunatic fanatics for him. Hallelujah. I think I found that crowd this morning. Hallelujah. Did that help you any this morning? Praise God. I preached a little bit longer than I always do. Every time I get longer. But I'm glad I did. It's all out of me now. I believe that this church is going to grow, Pastor Cheryl. I sense in my spirit by the Holy Ghost that this church is going to explode as these things begin to come to pass. I know you just had a recent expansion a couple of years ago. We used to have to expand every 2 years to accommodate an additional 1,000 people. Wouldn't that be great? That many people coming in here to get help? Oh, praise God. God wants to do great things with you, church. In a few minutes, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to give this back over to the praise team. That's what they asked me to do. But it's always my honor to come. Pastor Cheryl, thank you so much for having me. I count it a joy and an honor to be here, particularly Pastor Mike being gone. I mean, to let me come to his pulpit while he's not here is something that I told him that on the phone. Of course, he did tell me that Pastor Cheryl would be here to make sure I did everything right. Did I do okay? Okay. Praise the Lord. Give Jesus a hand clap.